Right. This week, when you complete Acharei Mos and you get through some forbidden marriage, whatever, and unions, and then you make your way into Kedoshim and you get to the first pasuk of Kedoshim. There's very, very important words there. It says Atem Kedoshim to you, and you have to be holy. And I heard an amazing, a lot of anyone who's anybody, you know, has written something on what exactly this means and how we're supposed to, what we're supposed to interpret about it. But I heard an incredible idea. Sometimes, you know, you can have a taina. We grow up in the worlds that we grow up in, and then you come to yeshiva, you start having these debates about, you know, if I miss mincha, can I do tshuva, or should I just literally, you know, dig a hole here and just keep making a pit so that that's really where I deserve to be. And you want to be better, and you know, you're going through a stride. You could be in Shabbos, kosher, you know, whatever the case might be, and then you hit a boiling point where you say, God, G-O-D. Some people like to put that hyphen between the G and the D. So you say to God, like, I don't get it, God. What's your deal? Okay, we could have been like Simcha. We could have gone to YBH. Okay, then not JC after, and probably beg some questions. You know, you could have let me grow up in Passaic, you know, where, you know, my neighbors are like Yirei Shemayim. But instead, you know, you put me in, Plony community that I ended up growing up in. And what do you expect me, God? If you really wanted me to be so from, you wanted me to be like Azulai and be a Kadosh and have a goatee and, you know, tell everyone there's no difference between you and Noach Nirenberg. Like, if you really wanted me to be that guy, God, let me grow up in Bnei Brak. Let me grow. You know how much easier it would be to grow up in Bnei Brak? You know how much easier it is to be yeshivish? You don't have to make any decisions. You know, my kids can't get a phone. The school says it's usher. My daughter, you know, until they want to rebel, they can't wear short skirts because they have to be down to the ground. Like, they're not playing with fire. They're not being like, let's see how close we can get until, you know, we're doing something that's maybe not halachically fine. Like, you put me in this community. What do you want from me, God? Like, it's not fair. It's not fair. I heard a great idea. So what does that mean, Kedoshim, to you? God doesn't expect that. He's not like telling Shua, you know, leave Chicago and go move to Lakewood, and then you'll be able to be a kadosh. You'll be able to be the best. All right. You'll be able to be the best version. But really, what Hashem wants from each and every one of us is for us to be kadosh in our lives, in the scope of our lives, which, probably 100%. But if we want to give one the benefit of the doubt, we'd say, you know, around 90% of us. A little more is going to be in, you know, whatever world we're going back into, but it's not going to then, it's not transforming into a world of Bnei Brak. That's not the calling. That's not the calling that each and every one of us have. And it's an incredibly, incredibly important idea to really conceptualize, like, what this means. What does this mean? So now I know, okay, fine, I gotta be kadosh. And I'm not really putting myself in a position that's Torah Lakulo. You know, it's called Torah Mada, Torah Parnasa, Torah Army, you know, whatever, however we want to slice it that's going on here. But, you know, that's a matzah that we're going into. And we have to teach ourselves, we have to educate ourselves on how we're going to be holy Jews. You know, a lot of times we get lost in the shuffle of what that really means. And what it really means when one is a Jew. We think that the most famous of a Kedoshim to you is Parash Min Arayos, said we have to protect our Makom Milo, we have to protect that category of what that might be, which obviously that is very important. That would also stem into what a Kadosh is. But you know, there's fewer things that are like more embarrassing, but worse for the Jews to hear than when we hear about, you know, that guy in the law firm who is stealing and cheating on his taxes and embezzling. Like Rasimi told me, like, he once worked in a company, and like, he was a finance guy. He's like, the person wasn't even that intelligent. Like, he like kept like a real, like, he wasn't like a hidden trail. He's like, we had like $50,000 not accounted for. And like, you just checked that guy and like, he clearly was going into like that guy's bank account. Like, it was a very, very easy trail to be able to follow. And we have to really always make sure that we are kadosh, that we're doing everything in our powers to be the holiest and most upstanding of individuals as humanly possible. Because as Jews, we always, You know, you always ever watch that show and you see like the red flashing dot on the person's chest. Like, you know, I don't know. I get like a little like I get an edge when I see like, oh my god, they're about to die or not die, because generally that's how it more often than not goes down. They somehow survive the sniper that's gonna literally hit them in a half a second if they don't know what's coming. But okay, but be it as it may, that's television. But you know, you have to. I forgot where I was going with that. But in any event, I really forgot where I was going with that. I probably had a point, or not. But we really need to take that point and where we're going on in life. Like some of you, wherever you're going to be next year, if you're in secular college, if you're working in a grocery store, if you're doing this, like, you know, like even like a perfect example. I don't know why. I mean, I guess I know why. But if you ever go to like the produce section of a grocery store. So it's basically like if you touch a fruit or a vegetable, you're causing a whole ruckus that's about to go on in the fruit and vegetable section because it's always overstocked. So I take my lemon out, and then all of a sudden you got 23 lemons on the floor, and 14 mangoes want to join the party, and then the kiwis get jealous, and they start jumping up and down, like, you know, and everything's going on. So sometimes you might be, you know, a little more intelligent, so you know how to prevent that, and you only see like one thing fall. And it can even be because of you or anyone else, and you know, you can do. You go and you pick the thing up, and it's a very, very easy opportunity because we're building ourselves. We are true. Now that doesn't mean it's a lot of people take this overboard. It's like annoying. If let's say, you know, you're about to walk into here and you happen to see Rafa's, they're 7 minutes away or 20 seconds away, holding the door is not necessarily like such a respectful thing because it makes the person have to run or rush, and that could be annoying. But if you see someone like right behind you, you can open the door for them. And even you know, this might be the craziest thing. I know we're so hungry. Now seeing what goes on in Shir here, I get why you guys are so intense and hungry. But when you go to get your plate in the Chadar Ochel, if you take two plates and you give one to the guy behind you, probably a Kadosh Baruch Hu is not going to say, you know, I can't bring the gula now. Like, this is not a world that deserves it because Azulai decided to even give an Ashkenazi guy, you know, a plate. Like, you know, all propaganda. Like, you know, even these things going on. Like, you know, we are able to do that. And to when you're playing sports, when you're on the basketball court, but like always remembering that we need to be kadosh. We need to be real holy yidden. And we have to be holy yidden in our Dalet Amos. It's not, you know, that's not like going to like, you know, a different place. Like this is our world that we're in. But when everyone's looking at that person, they're like, oh, maybe Jews aren't so bad. They don't just like to argue. They don't just like to see who can be louder than the next guy and not listen to the other person. Oh, maybe they are different, and to really trying to represent ourselves well. There's a story, and I think it was in Touch by a Story. That's where I read it first. There was this family. I could relate to it. Although times used to be different. People used to take buses. Now everyone here has cars. But they were on their way to Netanya for a family trip, and they got on the bus from Tachanah Merkazi. Now, you guys are a little spoiled in the sense of, like when I was in yeshiva, like, 15 years ago. So let's say you want to go to, like, Efrat or the Gush area, and it took, like, 3 hours from Ramat Beit Shemesh to get there. And
back in my days...
Yeah, and now it would take like 35 minutes. So buses have definitely changed. But they were taking the bus in Netanya, and you had to take the express bus for two reasons. Number one, unless you have all day, you had to take the express bus. Number two, if you've ever found yourself like on the 14, or maybe it's gotten better, but these buses have stopped every 3 feet. So if you want to make sure that you don't vomit, you need to take an express bus as well. So this family is on their way, and like any responsible parent. Then they told all their kids, go to the bathroom before we get on the bus. And like every kid would always say, no, I went to the bathroom. Now, like, you're not helping yourself because you're just going to have to go to the bathroom in 10 minutes. So like, what do we gain from this? But okay, you know, kids will be kids. And they're on their way. And like 10 minutes in, little Maishi says, Abba, got to go to the bathroom. It's like, okay, you know, we'll be in a time in like an hour. He's like, but Abba, I got to go. Okay, talk to the bus driver. He talks to the bus driver in his broken Hebrew, and the bus driver says, direct express bus in Netanya. We don't stop for anyone. Get back. He's like, no, the kid has to pee. He's like, okay, hope you have a change of clothing. Goes back, he tells the kid, yeah, the driver wasn't hearing him, but we're not going to stop the bus. He's like, I really have to go. He's like, yeah, what can I tell you? So he's like, you know, if you've ever had that like moment where you like really, really have to go to the bathroom, it can be very uncomfortable. You know, and I had actually one time when I was... I have a whole thing. When I drive, I really don't like to stop, and especially if I'm by myself. So I was going from Jersey to Philly. It was like an hour and a half drive, hour and 40 minute drive. And I also have like a, thank God, I have a pretty good bladder. This doesn't generally happen, but I really had to go. And like, I really, really didn't want to stop. And, you know, COVID was going on at the time. Maybe they'll make me have a mask to go into like a public bathroom. Like, ridiculous. I'm like, I don't want to deal with this. And then I'm like, go. I'm like, well, I don't know. I really have to get off at this exit because I don't know when the next exit will be. And I really have to go. And, I think that's one of the only times I ever had to stop. I can relate to Moshe. Like sometimes you gotta go. But you know, and I even tried doing a little bit. Like you're trying to scramble around and doing this, and like, yeah, it's not gonna help so much. And it would have been quite embarrassing if I hadn't gone to the bathroom. So I get what Moshe was going through, and he's like going. And finally, they get the last stop. They arrive in Netanya, in the Americas. You know, the Tachan Americas of Netanya. And they go. They quickly go to the bathroom, and obviously, as you'd be in any only in Israel, like no out of order bathroom. We don't have the bathroom here. And now they're scrambling. The sisters and with Moshe trying to find some facility for him to use. Obviously, he wasn't going to go in the street because you know he wasn't a behemoth, so he had to find he had to find something. And his sister and brother come back. Moshe, we found you a bathroom. Great, but is it a bar? It's like okay. Moshe's 5-6 years old. Moshe asks, "What's a bar? What goes on in a bar?" No, you know, watch some sports, drink a little, touch a little, intermingle a little, come back with somebody else's wife. You know, the huge. That's what goes on in a bar. And Mikey's like, I can't go. So we gotta go to the bathroom. We gotta go. He's like, I can't go in a bar. He's like, why can't you go in a bar? He's like, because my whole life, my parents, they always called me Kadosh. And Mikey's like, if I'm Kadosh, I'm not going into a bar. I don't know ultimately what happened to Moshe. Maybe he went to Leva Torah. Maybe he went to the Mir. Maybe he served in the army. I don't really know what happened to Moshe. But the point of the story and the lesson is that each and every one of us have to conceptualize that we are also holy individuals. We all have holiness and kedusha in us. And when we decide that I'm going to do something that's not so holy, and again, like you know, varying on like what was going on here before I got here, there's definitely different levels of what would be a less than holy act. Like not to if on Yom Kippur you decide I'm going to eat treif, I'm going to go to the Kodesh Kodashim, I'm going to like have relations with a non-Jew. That's significantly worse than if you set your alarm for 7:30 in the morning and you woke up at 8:30. That's significantly worse. That's not on the same level. But whatever our level is, we have to look at ourselves as holy, holy individuals. And even more in this stage where you guys are, you have to try to think, where I was last year. It's not so easy. A little bit of what I don't remember exactly. I wish Moshe had recorded his speech. I had a lot of things to question on what he was saying, but Moshe said beautifully, like always. But a lot of times, it is true. Like we all have the potential to be great, but we also have skeletons that are making it for some that are making it more difficult. And I think for others, especially in this, it probably sometimes is difficult when you look at that guy. Like, I don't know, why is it so easy for that guy? He's always I don't know, whoever you want to think of as like the Korban Tumid of Leva Torah, but like, who is that guy? Like, he's always here. He doesn't look hard. He never looks exhausted. Like, meanwhile, I wake up at 10:15 every day. I look dead. I look beyond exhausted every day. Then I come in, I stroll down to morning shiar at 11. I have zero koa. Yeah, that guy is sleeping 4.5 hours a day and, I'm going to mikveh every day and learning shtark every day. And he never seems to have like any, like, I don't know. It's very hard. But you have to really look. Where was I? Where was I when last year's she was case 2.5 years ago? Where was I when the year began? And what am I today? And now I have to take a real deep dive and to realize no, I want to be Kaddish. I want to be Kaddish. You're very fortunate to be here to having Hanan and Shua with you guys this year. And Simcha, it's Yossi Oza, a lot of you. Who came back in the middle of the year? Like, to me, that's like the definition of being holy. Like, that's like really, really conceptualizing and realizing I made a bad decision, and now I'm rectifying. Like something you should never know from it. Sometimes you get a bad car, and you think the solution to the bad car is constantly taking it to the mechanic and constantly putting money into it, and all at the end you have after a few years to show for is a bad car you put a lot of money into. Sometimes you have to rectify. Sometimes you have to rectify those stuff quickly. I can only say, really, I can only personally say more from Hanan than anyone else. Like understanding what he was going through at the beginning of the year, and then coming back. Like that's the truest definition of being cut. I'm separating from that, which is making it hard. I need to be back in. I need to be back in yeshiva. And I need to be back in that place, and to really reflect on what have I done? What was hard for me 2 years ago? What is not as hard for me now? And what do I hold myself to? If I'm not doing that now, then I'm not being the best version of myself. I'm not staying away from that which is enabling me to be kadosh, which is not ideal. And as we're trying to get to that point of being kadosh, we need to do things for real. Like that's the easiest way to be. That's the easiest way to be holy. It's to it's more, as Yeshua said before. It's more. It's more. You got to do a little more. You got to do a little more. If our davening stinks, it's bad, sucks. Whatever word you want to use. We got to do more to enable ourselves to be better for our learning. Brachos, I think that's like a big struggle of many people, and that's like a definition of like being holy is like understanding that wow, this is such a matana. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave me food, and you think like to. What it used to be. Like, you think yesterday, I wish like every person actually had to log in what they ate. Like, just imagine how much meat was eaten yesterday. Like, it's I didn't do my best work. I only had like 7 pieces of ribs and like 2 burgers and 3 hot dogs and like 12 pieces of salami. Like, I should have done better. All protein. No, not one carb in there. Maybe I could have done better, but like just thinking about like how thankful we are that we have what to eat, we have that which is given to us, and to take that moment before and to say a bracha, and even I remember one time, one of the first dates I went on, I was very into saying brachas out loud. I guess I've wavered over time. I guess it depends how from I feel. And I don't know, we had like a cup of orange juice, and I made a bracha out loud. And the girl said to me, I'm not going to make that bracha out loud. I'm like, okay, if you don't believe in God, what do you want from me? Like, should have known at that point it wasn't going to work out. It would have saved me, a lot of psychology visits, going to the psychologist. It would have been so much easier. But you have to have that real appreciation. This is a tremendous, tremendous bracha. And whatever those things are in your life, whatever they are, whatever we're striving to do more, whatever we're striving to do better in, but to always have that, we need to be kadosh, and we need to be as kadosh as we possibly can in our quarter. Like, you're gonna, when you go home, like you go or wherever you are, like you're at other people, like that's like the best opportunity to put that on full display. Like, don't be disrespectful, but always you have to always like really what's deep and meaningful to you, like that has to like always show that's deep and meaningful to you. And I'll just conclude with this. One more thing. I had a chaver who is a little more modern today, but he went to like the suit store like right after Shana Aleph. Sits out, his davening jacket, black and white. And he was being like very disrespectful to his mother. And his mother was saying like, it's like so wrong what he did. Like, acts like he's so from, and then he's doing that. So like, that's like the worst thing that you could do. That's the least kadosh thing you could do. Like, you have to have, there has to be standards, obviously. It's not like, I grew up in an Orthodox family, so I didn't have this challenge, but it's not if you it's just a different challenge. If you go back to a non-firm family, they say turn on the TV on Shabbos. That's not a heter to turn the TV on Shabbos. Okay, if you're out of stay in a room, if it's on, okay, ask, go ask receive, whatever. But like, you definitely can't turn on the television. I'm confident that any other rabbi will be masking to that statement. So you have to have that which is deep and that which is rooted in you, and you have to really if they'll be constantly making kiddush Hashem's. I was just at a shiva house, but it was fresh in my mind. But generally speaking, this is at shiva houses. But sometimes you're at a shiva house, and like it's not so praiseworthy of the dead. Like they're like, yeah, it was okay. Like they're not like really, really, fully attributing, the greatness of the deceased. And we're not living for that. It's not like, oh, what are they going to say at my shiva house? Like that's not really what we're living for. But you're able to see, like, for certain people, like, just how, and again, like, you'll hear the person, like, the person would never miss davening. He never missed a minyan. The guy in 55 years, he never missed a minyan. The first person to open up the shul every single day, and things like that. And how did that get to be? But that person had whatever it was that worked for him. And we're always trying to do more. Again, you can't do all out of mitzvahs. We can't do now. You can't do all mitzvahs at all times. But whatever it was, whatever he was trying to do, that time, like, that's my, I'm going to be kadosh. Like, to me, like, it's not, I'm staying away from that which is bad. Like, I'm porish from that which is taking me away. So I'm going to be defined by my truest and my best characteristics. And then at the end of days, people are like, wow, that guy was, like, really, really impressive. And just, like, on a just obvious note, like, when you're always, and again, don't be like, don't annoy yourself, you know, to the grave, but like, when you're constantly doing, you know, kind and good deeds, and like, when I, you know, I'm not great at this either, I'll admit it, like, I know Mary sends out the message, I need 10 guys to help with the cucumbers, and, oh, I didn't see my phone, like, I'm always on my phone, like, my screen time 16 and a half hours a day, in which 12 and a half hours on WhatsApp. No, for those 4 minutes, I happen to not be on WhatsApp. Like, you know, we don't have to kid ourselves. Like, we don't have, like, those are the kadosh people. You're like, I'm running to that. I'm running to that. I'm being defined by that. I'm defining myself. Like, to take it out. Like, what is holy? How I am defining it. I am defining myself by this characteristic, which is a good, good deed and a good mitzvah and a thing that I want to be. Whatever that is for a person. But the more that we can do, the more that we say. And obviously, the more kadosh things you're doing, and the more good things you're doing, that's enabling you to, by default, to be not able to do as many bad things, because your time is being taken up by doing that which is productive. Have a wonderful Shabbos.